back together again, you and I, wrapping it up Friday style, February 7th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We spoke with Darianne Norwalk, GOP State Rep. Tracy Mara, regarding a bill that would repeal part of a law that allowed last year's sale of the Bridgeport-based Aquarian Water Company to a new affiliate of the reformed South Central Regional Water Authority. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum dropped by to talk about the Trump White House push to stop birthright citizenship, a topic that I also opened the show with and had some thoughts on.
You may remember a bunch of months ago, last year, all of a sudden we kind of woke up one morning and we said, well, wait a minute, hold on, Aquarian's going to be sold to a reformed South Central Connecticut Regional Water Authority? Like, that happened kind of quickly, and there had to be a legislative change for that, and everybody worried now at what's going to happen to their water bills. Well, a couple of Republican lawmakers, our buddy Ryan Fazio, of course, on the Senate side, and Republican State Rep. Tracy Mara, have introduced a bill to try, I guess, and make sure that doesn't happen again in the time frame it did. I mean, companies are bought and sold all the time, but this one, I remember talking about it on the air going, well, that was quick. And joining us right now, Darianne, GOP State Rep. Tracy Mara, to talk about the bill. She is co-sponsoring. Hey, Tracy, it's Paul again. Good to have you back. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Nice to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Well, yeah, I wanted to have you on because I saw you and Ryan sponsor this, and I was talking about this with him the other day, too, as part of a legislative push here. It seemed, Tracy, now maybe I'm off a little bit, I'm exaggerating, but did this not happen almost overnight here, and there was something done at a special session? So explain to my listeners here what happened here and why they may have been surprised with how quick this was.
Right. I mean, we were called back into special session, and this is really just one of the things that we dealt with in a singular bill. So it happened fast. I think we were all a bit misinformed when it went through, and it's not a good way to govern. And certainly I have responsibility because I did vote for the bill overall, and this was one piece of it. But, you know, again, I just think that these big omnibus bills that get pushed through is just not good governance.
So what are you and Ryan trying to do with a bill that some people are saying is not going to reverse this, but will prevent this in the future? What changes, Tracy, are you suggesting here?
Well, no, I'm not exactly sure. The bill that we put through was to actually repeal what had happened over the summer. So that is not, if there's something that's going to prevent this in the future, that is not this bill. This is really just to repeal what happened over the summer. And unfortunately, I mean, I think the bad news is it's a little, too little too late. I think that this is, days or weeks from finalizing, and I don't foresee that we're going to be able to get this bill passed, nor that there's going to be really support to pass it. I mean, we have had pushback from certainly our first selectmen in our towns down here, as well as residents that are already reeling from utility prices just going too high.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is going to be another example. And I think if you look, unfortunately, Aquarion has had, well, fortunately for everyone, Aquarion has had lower rates. If you compare them to the other regional water authorities, their rates were lower.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, Aquarion was wanting to increase them. And when they put that through to the regulatory authority, it was denied. So this really, quite frankly, is another example of our utilities and our regulatory authority bumping heads. And then the residents are stuck with the bill. So it seems to be a cycle that we're regularly seeing, and I'm certainly hoping that we can get to the bottom of this and make it a better environment for both the utilities and the regulatory authority in the future.
Darianne, Republican State Rep. Tracy Mara is the guest. And Tracy, like I mentioned a little while ago, I mean, companies get bought and sold all the time. That's not the real issue here on some level. But I remember people just being really surprised here at how quickly this happened. I remember that bill in the special session. And that, I would imagine, as you said, that probably had you know, a lot of consumers and even a lot of people in your caucus saying, hey, what's up with this? I mean, I would think, and look, I'm far from an expert in these things. When these things happen, there should be a long, detailed debate and also some investigative work done on this stuff as well.
No, I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt that this went too fast and had very little thought legislatively on it. It's really quite unfortunate. I agree. We need to have better governance. The omnibus bill, the bills that just have everything thrown into them, it really needs to stop. We need to think about the individual issues one at a time and pass them on a singular issue.
Yeah.
I know it makes for a quick day if you can get one up and in and out. I don't think it serves the residents of Connecticut.
Yeah.
And certainly I know the residents here and Darianne are really frustrated. I also cover part of Norwalk, but the part of Norwalk I cover, they're already run by municipal water. So they're not even under Aquarian. So, but Darianne is not happy with this right now. And I was trying to make amends and try to make this right. Moving forward, I think the best thing to do is this will not be regulated. I mean, that's one of the issues. It's going to fall outside the regulated body, but it is, they do have, and it's regional, so they do have municipal representation. So each of the towns that are involved will have a representative that will get to have their say. Maybe not necessarily full voting rights, but that's the framework that I understand is going to be moving forward. And I certainly hope that that the Water Authority is true to their word on this. And I have heard good things about them from those that have the Regional Water Authority. So to be sure, it would have had rates increase under Aquarion had Aquarion been able to move forward. So that's one of the things we do need to keep in mind.
Sure.
Aquarion did need to increase their rates according to them, and they were prevented from doing that. So.
And finally, Tracy, on that note, and you alluded to this before, and I've talked with numerous legislators about this, and we're getting this from both sides of the aisle. I guess you folks are really looking at the regulatory atmosphere here in the state. There's a lot of sniping going on between Eversource and Avangrid and Pura and Marissa Gillette. Are cooler heads, you think, Terry, gonna Tracy, I'm sorry, are cooler heads gonna prevail here? Because I think it would reflect well on the state, even with some of these utilities saying, hey, you know, we can't get the funding we want, or we're getting downgraded here, as Eversource has said. So, you know, Tracy, what do you think is gonna wash out here, if anything?
Well, we're still early days in our committee meetings, and we've only gone through one public hearing. I'm now ranking on Energy Committee along with Senator Fazio, and we've got three more public hearings that we're going to have, and I expect that they will be very long and robust public hearings, and absolutely. We need to stay calm, and we need to be adults about this. The back and forth needs to end on everybody's side. But you do understand there's a lot of people that are very frustrated, and it's not trivial. The emails that I get from people that are in middle income households that are really, really struggling right now. They are heartbreaking emails. So we must do something. But like I said, it is early days. The committee has said that they will fully work together, and I expect that moving forward.
All right. State Rep, Republican Tracy Mara, Darien, and part of Norwalk as well. Tracy, good to have you with us, and you have the number. So if anything breaks you want to tell us about, feel free to give us a call. Thanks, Tracy. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And a gentleman who joins us a lot right here on WICC to talk about what we've been talking about here on the show for almost the first 2 hours, because one of the lead voices in this is Connecticut's own Attorney General William Tong. William Tong, an AG from Massachusetts and New Jersey, at a news conference in Boston, chatting about the joint lawsuit they filed against that White House executive order seeking to rescind birthright citizenship. You and I all know you can't really do that, change the Constitution with an executive order, but nonetheless, we are here. Thane Rosenbaum is on with us. Thane, good afternoon. How are you?
So nice to hear your voice, Paul, always.
Well, Thane, thank you for taking the time. Boy, this is interesting. You know, Thane, I said earlier, before we went to the break here locally, I said, you know, Donald Trump's the kid with the cherry bombs and the M-80s and the M-100s and the Roman candles and the bottle rockets. Like, he likes to make noise on stuff like this because, Thane, you and I know, and correct me, please, you're the expert here, you can't change the Constitution with an executive order, can you?
Well, you know, this is sort of a very legalistic approach, you know, in a way. His lawyers are basically saying that if you read the Constitution, 14th Amendment, the language says there's two things that they're making an argument. The first argument is to say this is one of the three post-Civil War amendments. Its purpose was very clear, Reconstruction after slavery. It was never intended for the situation that we have here, for people who were, unlike African-Americans, who were forcibly brought to the United States, people who somehow escaped through a border crossing. They did not come to an official crossing. And this is the Trump legal argument, that you didn't check in at the door. You came in on your own. And the language of this amendment itself speaks to the fact that to the extent to which we have jurisdiction over you, and we really don't have jurisdiction over you because you're an alien. You're not from our country. So that's the argument they're making, that the language itself is saying to the extent that there is jurisdiction, that we have powers over you. So they're making a legalistic argument saying, yes, it applies to people who we have legal authority over, but we really don't because you're just deportable. You know, you're not with us. You're deportable. So therefore, it doesn't apply, right? So they're making really two arguments. One is like legislative history. Where did this amendment come from? It's not the First Amendment. It's not the Second Amendment. It's the 14th Amendment. That means it comes out late in our country. Now, there was a case in the very end of the 19th century, man from Asia who went home and came back. He was born here, and they basically said, you're an alien. We're not going to parole you back into the country. And the Supreme Court ruled in his favor. They said, what are you talking about? You know, he was born in this country. So that really is the precedent that Connecticut and the other states are pointing to, saying, hey, it's not like the Supreme Court didn't look at this before. It did. And in the end, they concluded that this man from Asia, this was, remember, to travel at that period of time before the 20th century, you go all the way, and then you come all the way back, and there's no internet or credit cards. Right? It was a pretty big deal, right, for him to go all the way there, across the Pacific, come all the way back, and then they turn around and go, well, you don't belong here, and that's where the precedent begins, that it's not just slaves, right?
Yeah.
It's not just to make up for the horrible thing that we did, that we're applying it not just to former slaves. But I do think that there is an interesting argument because that guy, his parents were there legally, you know, and so that's the argument they're making. If they're there legally, we would have jurisdiction over the parents and the kid because he was born here. But this is really taking a broad view. Remember, during the Biden administration, or actually during the first Trump administration, when immigration, you know, the wall was being discussed.
Oh, yeah. Stuff,
then all of a sudden we were told you can't use the word alien. Remember?
Yes.
You can't use the word alien. That's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
It does sound terrible, right? But the Trump people are actually going back to that. They're saying, you are an alien. You have nothing to do with us because your parents this is not, we're not trying to get politically correct here. He's saying, you really are an alien. You're like E.T. You're not from here. And the only reason, and if your parents had come through a recognized official border and given their name and said, I really want to be an American. I really need asylum.
Yeah.
Will you parole me in? Give me a date. I'll come back. Maybe I'll get a lawyer. Maybe I'm not. I got to learn to speak English, but I want to make my case. They're saying there's a huge difference between that and people who cross through the Rio Grande. Now, I don't know if that helps your listeners understand what the legal argument is, because otherwise what you said, Paul, is correct. It's pretty straightforward, right? The judge in Seattle said the same thing. It says it right there in the 14th Amendment, the birthright citizenship clause of the Constitution.
Finally, Thane, so what happens here? I mean, do both sides, pro and con this, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, do we just continue judge shopping on this? I mean, okay, we can get how many legal opinions on this, and then what?
So eventually, the three cases, one in Seattle, one in Maryland, and now one in Boston, you guys are related to the one in Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how those things play out. Let's say all three judges say the same thing. This is utter nonsense. You're born here. You're an American. Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. It's obvious. It's in the Constitution, right? So then the Trump, they're not going to give up, right? Three of those cases are going to get appealed in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals there, and it's going to get picked in the, I think, Fourth Circuit. D.C. Circuit in Maryland, I think, and the Second Circuit here in Connecticut and New York. And we'll see what the appellate courts will do with that argument that I just gave you, right? They're going to say Trump's team is going to come and make the same thing I just told you, and let's see what happens there. The real question is the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
This is really the, you know, the ace in the hole that Trump created by picking three justices.
They can't want this case, can they? Do they really want this case?
You know, you're so right about that, Paul, because, you know, all of this stuff, they want to think of themselves as having judicial independence, but they know that their polling numbers are horrendous, right? They know that, you know, we've never had a lower opinion in the Supreme Court. Again, some of them said, well, we don't care. We're not a political entity. We don't run for office.
Yeah.
We have lifetime appointment. You can hate our guts. It doesn't matter. Our job is to interpret the Constitution and leave me alone. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, they really do want to dodge the ones that are so red button, red hot.
Yeah.
And this is one that is really red hot because it goes to the core. But I wouldn't be surprised that with six conservatives on the Supreme Court, that five of them, call you don't need five.
That's all you need.
Five of them won't say, it really doesn't, you don't get the benefit of the Constitution if you start out as a lawbreaker. That's what they're going to do. If you start off as a lawbreaker, we don't give you the benefit. And that's the constitutional interpretation. What did we think of the 14th Amendment meant? Here's what we think.
Wow. Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, thanks. Always great to talk to you and explain it the way you do. Thanks, Thane. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it. Right there. How about that, folks? He's good. So in a push to avoid all the knee-jerk reaction that everybody and everything are latching onto, the knee-jerk reactions, I should say, I try to take a breath. You know how I do this show and how I present stuff to you folks. I try to take a breath and say, hey, all right, what are we actually looking at here? Before we call somebody a communist or a Marxist or a fascist or a revolutionary or a dictator or Hitler or Castro, I try to say, well, is there anything this person or that person is saying in their argument that makes me go, well, all right, maybe we should look at that. But we are so torqued off now on every little thing, especially in the national discussion right now, that we've lost the ability to do that. Let me give you an example. And we were getting more of this wonderful rhetoric from William Tong, our attorney general, who's in Boston today about birthright citizenship. And he's on the great white steeds with Chris Murphy trying to save us from the invading Trump hordes.
When you look at what the White House, for example, is proposing on birthright citizenship, and you say to yourself, well, that doesn't sound crazy. Now, let me give you, because we also, oh, birthright citizenship, Trump hates illegals, blah, 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 blah. Well, no, let's look at this a little more closely, shall we? Now, you know that under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, all you have to do is pop out of mom, you know, push honey. Ah, oh, there he is. Or there she is. Or there they are. Oh, there's more than one. Okay. And you're an American citizen. Now, that's kind of the way it's always been since that amendment was ratified and a big major court case in the late 1800s, 1880, I think, or 1890 or something like that. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But sometimes you maybe should reconsider things in reflection of the times you're living in. So this birthright citizenship that Mr. Trump is trying to end or alter or modify or put a timeout on is based on an executive order. Now, again, I don't love executive orders. I think it takes Congress off the hook. I think it makes for lazy governance. But having said that, should we not at least talk about this? The order is called Protecting the Meaning and Value of American Citizenship, all right? Now, what the order would actually do, if you sit back, you put your feet up, you take a breath, and you maybe absorb this, you listen to this, and say, man, it's kind of interesting. It would limit birthright or automatic citizenship to people who have at least one parent who is a U.S. citizen here, or a permanent resident. It states that those born to parents who are in the country legally but temporarily will no longer be automatically guaranteed citizenship, including high-skill work visas and student visas. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt saying last week the White House believes that birthright citizenship is unconstitutional. She went on and said, quote, this is her saying this, quote, illegal immigrants who come to this country and have a child are not subject to the laws of this jurisdiction. That's the opinion of this administration. And the reason she mentioned that is that Supreme Court case in the late 1800s, right before 1900, I think it was, hinges on subject to the laws of this jurisdiction. And that asks an interesting question, does it not? And strip away Donald Trump from this. I know that's hard for some of you to do. But strip away Donald Trump from this, right? Strip away whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whether you're pro-immigration or anti-immigration or something. Is it fundamental? You know how I like to say, how do we value citizenship? And I'm not saying I have the answer to this. I don't. I have no legal chops at all in this. But I think I could spot an interesting question. And you can say, well, it was passed in the 1800s. Well, we know why it was passed. To make sure that the freed slaves and the children of those freed slaves would, in fact, be considered U.S. citizens, and quite properly such. Nobody's arguing that. But I have a simple question here at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Have we perverted the meaning of the 14th Amendment over the years? Now, you might say, well, it's only Trump bringing it up. If Trump didn't bring it up, nobody else would. Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe because, as we've learned, Donald Trump doesn't give a crap. I would say another word, but I'd be suspended for a few days probably. But he doesn't care. He doesn't give a or a He doesn't care. And maybe in some situations that's good. In other situations, it probably isn't. But forget it's Trump talking about it. Forget about Doge. Forget about Elon Musk. Forget about all this stuff for a minute. Ask yourself a simple question here. A simple, simple question. Forget about Trump. Forget about any of this stuff. Just please forget about it. But just ask yourself. And I don't want to hear the answer, well, it's always been that way. Well, we did stuff back years ago that proved to be not good or detrimental to us. So I'm simply asking this question, and you can ring me up at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Is it right? Is it fundamentally fair that you have people waiting in line, doing everything right, filling out the forms, doing everything legally, paying thousands of dollars for lawyers, standing in line here to become citizens when we still have this theory that other countries have as well that allows just somebody whose gestation, shall we say, ends at a certain point in the U.S., wait, they get to be citizens automatically? How does that make sense? And I don't want to hear, well, it makes sense because it's in the Constitution. Okay, you know, we've made changes to the Constitution in the past. All I'm saying here is don't throw this stuff aside just because it's coming out of the, you know, the mouth of Orange Man Bat here. Again, I ask you, does it make sense to simply say that somebody is a citizen of this country if they're born here and both mom and dad are not? How does that make sense? So this entire head splitting here over birthright, citizenship, and oh, Trump hates people or this. Let's take Trump out of this. Why? Now, we've evolved from slavery, thank God. But the 14th Amendment was put in there to make sure slaves who were not treated, they were treated as slaves back then, and their kids were automatically citizens. We get that. But beyond that, why beyond that should we award automatic citizenship? And again, I've always wondered this long before Donald Trump. And the argument has been, well, there's a thing called birth tourism, too. And I've talked to people. I used to work at Yale New Haven Hospital. So I've talked to people who used to tell me, well, you know, see that one over there? Well, they just flew in here and now they're having a child. There's a controversy about that. It's called birth tourism. But and they take advantage of the law, and I get that, and I understand that. But forget the fact that Trump is the guy talking about this. I've always wondered this too. Now, what you hear from a lot of people who hate Trump and hate this, well, you know, a lot of other countries do birthright citizenship, and they do. And I went online and looked, and a lot of other countries don't. So be careful when you hear, well, a lot of countries do this. Okay, and I said, well, geez, and a lot of our allies, a lot of industrialized countries don't. Or they do something that Trump is suggesting, like, okay, at least one of the two parents, the biological parents, have to be a U.S. citizen or be in the country legally. And that's the thing that William Tong, our attorney general, always exaggerates. Well, if it wasn't for birthright citizenship, I wouldn't be here. No, Mr. Tong, with all due respect, and you were forced to admit this after it was reported, your parents were not illegals. Your parents had work visas. God bless them here in the country. And they ran that Chinese restaurant in Hartford. Good for them. So basically, what I think Trump wants to do would be to codify that. But I've never understood. Well, if as long as you're born on U.S. soil, you're a U.S. citizen. Well, if mom and dad were driving across the Canadian border and you had popped out of mom 15 minutes earlier, pulled over on a roadside in a Canadian province, then you'd be a Canadian citizen? Like, I've never quite understood that. You're saying, well, what do you want it to be, Paul? I think it should have something to do with the citizenship of one of the biological parents. And I'm looking online here, and there's an interesting list of how different countries do it. You got to have one parent who's a citizen of that country, or a legal resident, or one India changed it to having one parent be in India since a certain amount of years is interesting. But what do you think of all this? And are people just, they're pointing to Trump, but are they just avoiding the issue here? Because it's easy. Let's kick it off with Matt in Fairfield, who's with us. Matt, good afternoon on WICC. What's going on?
The birthright citizenship sky is falling. My God. You know, Paul, I think the first thing people need to start understanding is that Donald Trump's not a politician. Donald Trump is a man who's had learned from his last mistake, 4 years getting stabbed in the back. He's a poker player, and he knows how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I don't know that it's the only motivation behind him, but I look at these birthright tour groups. Listen, that's black market that's been taken advantage of, mm-hmm. on by our 14th Amendment. Those people make big money teaching people how to come here and have a baby on American soil.
And I was told that, Matt, like I said, I was told that years ago by people who worked in a hospital. They said, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah.
They are selling American citizenship. That's what they're doing.
Mm.
So my point about him being a poker player, he's throwing the card, and the pros and the cons are going to argue this
yeah.
out in front of the court. And in the end, my hope is that the 14th Amendment exists for what it was intended, and they close loopholes so you don't have black market sale of American citizenship. And people should just realize that this guy is not your typical politician. He's the poker player. And he's going to do right by us.
All right, Matt, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, listen, what's wrong with Jess? Because immediately you have the knee-jerk people. Oh, Trump is, he's a fascist. Take Trump out of the equation here. Has the 14th Amendment outlived its usefulness? Because, again, like I say, go online. Don't believe me if you don't want. There are a lot of countries that don't have birthright citizenship. And require, for example, one of the parents to have some sort of legal lineage to their country. Is that a bad thing or not? I don't know. I haven't decided it yet. But I'm just saying that I think one of the beneficial things of the Trump presidency so far, and good Lord, I have problems with some of the other stuff he's doing, is sometimes you got to get a cold bucket of water in the face to say, hey, maybe we should at least think about this stuff again. Al in Ansonia. Al, what's up with you?
Paul, hey, I actually have a question. So I understand like what the argument is.
Yeah.
I'm very, very for it. Not having, you know, hey, you were here for 15 minutes and you just so happened to give birth here. I'm for that. My question is there's a lot of theories or speculation online that apparently that if this was to go through where mm-hmm. for birthright citizenship were to be taken away, would that go for people or families who were born here that didn't have legal parents? Would their citizenship get revoked? Is that something that's true?
And Al, thank you for the call. That's the big question here. And Al, you hit a bullseye right there. This is what people think is Donald Trump's ulterior motive here. You nailed it, Al. That's exactly what they think is. Well, he's running an end around here, little backdoor sweep here to cut into the migrant population. I don't know. I don't know. But whether you're for that or against that, the bottom line is, as I say, there's nothing wrong with at least discussing this and saying, hey, we're long post-slavery here. Should we reassess this?